Father, we thank you this morning. We glorify you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Lord, for your strength and everything, God, that you're doing in us and through us by the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning, God, that out of my mouth shall flow forth wisdom, knowledge, and the light of God permeating the hearts of men, transforming them for the better. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that is listening, that this word will do them good. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. You may have your lovely seats.
The Son of God is glorified.
Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I want to talk about the art of discipleship. I'm just continuing with what we had begun, but I want to talk about distractions that come along the way, and I'm picking this story of Martha and Mary. Now let's read together. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. A certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. In discipleship also, distractions are many. Many things happen, and there are so many distractions around our lives that will actually hinder us from achieving or seeing what God wants us to see. And this story of Martha and Mary that we are picking from Luke, who is sharing and saying that Martha and Mary welcomed Jesus to their home. Actually, Martha is the one who did the welcoming. She welcomed Jesus into the house. And she was having a sister, and the sister was Mary. I want you to see that it is Martha who welcomed Jesus. It is not Mary who welcomed Jesus, but it is Mary who benefited from the ministry of Jesus. He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. So this shows you that I can be a believer. I have welcomed Jesus, but I'm not benefiting from Jesus being my Lord. Are we together? Talking about art of discipleship. I can be a believer, but I am not benefiting from Jesus being Lord over my life. Mimi ni Mkristo lakini sifaidiki na Ukristo. Yes, sifaidiki na Ukristo. This story of Martha and Mary gives me a clear picture that it is not just saying Jesus is Lord that brings results on the table. It is also the intentional desire for you to get or take advantage of Jesus in your life. 39. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet of Jesus. There was a sister who was called Mary who also sat at the feet of Jesus. I want you to go with me to the book of, Acts chapter 22? Acts chapter 22, verse 3. Okay, let's read. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all more. Then he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, at taught according to the... Who has a different version, like amplified version?
Brethren and father, kinsmen, hear my defense which I now offer to you. When they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he continued, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strictness of the law of our fathers, being ardent and passionate for God, just as all of you are today.
That's amplified class. Look for amplified class. Sorry, I said amplified. I need amplified class. Acts chapter 22, verse 3.
Brethren and fathers, listen to the defense which I now make in your presence. And when they heard that he addressed them in the Hebrew tongue, they were all the more quiet, and he continued, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but reared in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated according to the strictest care in the law of our fathers, being ardent even as zealot for God, as all of you are today.
So Paul is saying, Where did he receive education from?
At the feet of
Gamaliel.
That's what I want us to see. When we hear, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. So Paul is saying that I was raised in the city, educated at the feet. So when you hear the Bible say at the feet of somebody, it's a matter of learning and unlearning. Are we together? So back to the story of Martha and Mary. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the feet of sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So this shows you when scripture is saying that Mary heard the word of Jesus, it means that Mary understood what Jesus was saying. Are we together? It is not just hearing. Mary understood what Jesus was saying. As a disciple, you only benefit when you are able to understand what is being said. Are we together? So number one is, not everyone who is born again is benefiting from being born again. Number two is, I can only benefit when I have understood what has been said. So it says that Mary heard, she sat at the feet. It means that the training Jesus was doing, when they welcomed him in the house, what he was doing was continuing to train. Are we together? So it was not just in the house that Jesus, venye sisi wote tunaingia kwa nyumba tunakaa, tunasema, tunaanza story zetu kupiga. No. The story of Jesus was about preaching the kingdom. Every story of Jesus was actually sharing something about the kingdom of God. So in this instance where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, for her for the scripture to write and say, she heard the word of Jesus, it means that she understood what Jesus was saying. Are we together? She understood what Jesus was saying. Every now and then, when you understand what the person is saying, the person is able to stand and defend or speak on your behalf. Let's go to verse 40. But Martha was done what? What was Martha doing? She was distracted. By what? So it is true that service can be a distraction. Huh? I'm going to church to serve. But the truth is, it is distracting you. Amen. So serving does not mean that you are a disciple. You can be distracted in serving. You can come here in the morning, do everything here, but at the end of the day, what are you doing? You are being distracted. Why are you distracted? Because first of all, the reason why Martha was distracted, let's read verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, so she was distracted with much serving. I know theologians have said that Martha was actually showcasing, I am doing. Most of the time, distractions happen when your heart is not right. When your heart is not right. And that is the point where we as Christians, we have to align our hearts. Are our hearts right when sad? Are our minds right when we sad? Let not your hearts be troubled. John chapter 14. If you believe in God, believe also in me. So it means a troubled heart is a distracted heart. Are we together? A troubled heart is a distracted heart. If I come here and the people are praying and I'm standing there and I am distracted, I'm troubled at heart, I will not be worshiping. I'll be concentrating on my distraction. I can be seated in service, but because my mind is somewhere else, that is also a distraction. And you find in scripture, it says, it is in Isaiah. I'm thinking about that verse. Is it Isaiah 22? He keeps in perfect peace whose mind stays on him. Somebody can get me that scripture. Should be Isaiah 22. Sorry? 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Why is your mind on God? Because of what? You are trusted him. So, distraction, number one, my heart is not there. Number two, my mind is not there. So it means whenever my mind wanders, it shows that I have mistrusted God on some matters. I have mistrusted God on what I need to trust him. I have lost focus. I have done what? I have lost focus. So I can be serving, doing what I'm doing, but my mind is not there. I am thinking of many things that I should not be thinking about. That is totally a distraction. So what am I doing? I am not being empowered as a disciple or benefiting from what God is doing in my life. Amen. Our daily activities that we do
in church or we do in our workspaces or in our homes does not equate to us truly worshiping God. Are we together? I have to make sure that I am not distracted when I'm worshiping God. Another distractions that come in our lives is many noises. The many noises that we see. Many noises distract us. That's why unapata mtu anasema, I am meditating. I am just looking for a place that is peaceful. By the river or somewhere in the unaona prayer mountains as we kwa town. Why? The noises in town, the distraction. So this shows you that when, look at the life of Jesus. When Jesus is doing ministry, it gets to a place where he's withdrawing himself from the crowd to go somewhere and do what? And pray. Why? He's dealing with distractions. When he's coming down the mountain, Kina Peter excited, Master, in fact, the miracles yesterday, we need to do more. People are waiting for you. Jesus says, no, let's go to another town. So it means distractions is the noise that we accommodate around our lives because we want to feel comfortable or we want to do a lot of things that are in line with the noise. So number two is noise is a distraction. So the heart, the mind, and the noise around. Are we together? Number four. Low minimum to our points. Number four. Another great distraction in our life. It's our personal ambitions. Personal ambitions. Look at Martha. Martha welcomes Jesus. And as she welcomes Jesus, she's doing something. She's actually the hospitality aspect. The hospitality aspect that is required is a noble cause. But that personal thing that she's doing is a distraction from benefiting from God. Are we together? So personal ambitions are also a trigger to distraction. When Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel is actually, it's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. God instructs and gives Samuel an instruction to Saul. He tells Saul what to do. Are we together? Then Saul actually initiates or does what he's supposed to do, but compromises because of personal preferences. Now, verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Do you know most of the time we compromise because we are trying to adjust to fit our personal way of looking things. If God tells you something concerning a matter or concerning a situation, you try to adjust so that you can fit in. I've done that several times. I'm trying to fit in. And as I'm fitting in, I am compromising the instructions that God wants me to do. Both at personal level, both at church level. I've done that. And at the end of the day, I sit down and I tell myself, I wish I ticked the boxes the way God wants me to tick them. So Samuel is saying, God told me I anointed you. And he's telling me, heed to the voice. Hear what God is saying. A good disciple takes keen of the details that God is giving you, or the voice of God, or the instructions of God. If God tells you, pray, you wake up to pray. When God tells you, sing, you sing. When God tells you to jump, you jump. And I've used a story that one day we were told to pull a door down. And when we were told, I started calculating. In me, the calculations was, why are we using force? Why don't we? Somebody else jumped on the door and pulled it down. And immediately the person pulled it down. The interesting part is, for my life, whenever I start those arguments and an action is done, immediately I hear God telling me, why were you procrastinating? Sorry, I didn't know my phone is not silent. Why are you procrastinating over a certain matter? And the instructions have been achieved by somebody else, immediately on my side, I mirror myself as a disobedient person. Ninajiangalia ni kama mtoto mtukutu kwa Mungu. Ni mtukutu. Mwenye nimepotoka. Nimekosa kufuata masharti ya Mungu. So that story, I use that story to literally explain that at times we try to reason and give our logic on many things. And at the end of the day, we miss on getting what God wants us to do. Are we together? Verse 2, that says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, Saul is taken, is going there. Look at verse 9. But Saul, the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. This is what I was saying. Most of the time we hear instruction, we look at something that is convenient. We don't look at something that is inconveniencing us. We look for something that is convenient. That's something that is easier for us to subtract from our lives or our itinerary or our way of doing things, missing the intentions or the purpose God wants us to achieve by doing what we are supposed to do. So Saul is actually taking the fat, and that thing that is not looking like it is what is now destroying. Are we together? Most of the time, whatever is weakling, we destroy. Whatever is fat, we want to hold. And remember, verse one, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Are we together? When you look at your life, every time you disobey God, he reminds you of the instruction. Every time you do something and you disobey God, he reminds you of what needs to be done. Probably you're supposed to pray in the morning. You didn't pray, and something happens. It's not God who is doing that thing to happen. Something happens. You will remember. Now I know. God told me to pray in the morning. Now I understand. Why? Because, you know, most of the time, nasemanga, judgment will come. Yes. But the best judgment in life is when something happens and you remember, if I had prayed. Are we together? Judgment ya Mungu wachana ile yenye tunasema itakuja one day. It is instant. That's why Nicodemus, this person who said, I have obeyed, I've kept everything, I've done everything. Jesus tells the person, go sell your things. Then he says, my things, you know. That is initial from the word go. God is telling this person, you have done this thing, but the truth is, your heart is not right. Your heart is not in the right place. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is also where your heart is. So distractions, the personal ambitions, the things that we put on board, this is what we want to achieve. This is what, as a church, this is what, we want to do this. And at the end of the day, we miss on what God wants us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Bill, you are teaching good. Send it up myself. Mm-hmm. And he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
So that's the story of Saul. Look at verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. So when Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he was gone around, passed by and gone to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel is questioning Saul of the instructions that was given by God. Then he's actually telling Saul, you didn't obey the instructions. Verse 16, then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. I will tell you what the Lord spoke to me last night. So it is prudent for us to know that personal ambitions or personal interests can be a distraction for us to achieve what God wants us to achieve. Back to the story of Martha and Mary. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. Every time you're distracted in your service, in your ministry, every time you're distracted, it's no longer the grace of God. It's your personal effort.
Amen.
It is your personal effort.
Lord,
I am doing this. Tell this person to help me because of what? It's no longer you taking advantage of the grace of God. It is now you using your personal strength to achieve what God wants you to achieve. So every now and then, thank you. Every now and then that you deny the grace of God to function in your life, you end up using personal strength to achieve what God has purposed for you to achieve. And in the long run, This is where bitterness begins. Bitterness is a result of you using your strength to do what God wants you to do.
Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. Okay. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their... So it means that the Gentiles were walking according to their mind. Let's read verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the light because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of... So every now and then I use my personal effort. I am blinded from what God wants me to do. So it means that I am no longer walking the way God wants me to walk. I am walking according to the way I think I should walk. And in the long run, what Paul is telling this, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life. So every now and then I am using my personal effort. I am separating myself from God's agenda and God's intention over my life. And verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. On that, was it number 5? That every now and then you despise the grace of God, bitterness comes on board. The works of the flesh comes on board. Greediness, lasciviousness, lying. Why? Because you are no longer walking or taking advantage of the grace of God over your life.
Are we together? Pastor Bill, you're doing fine.
So this mother is asking Jesus, Lord, tell her to help me do what I need to do. Help me to do what I need to do. And then Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You're troubled about? So it means it is the many things that are serving as a distraction from us to enjoy the main thing. Are we together? You are troubled, you are working, you are doing many things. You are actually trying to fit in, you are trying to make things work the way they should. But truth is, you are missing on what God wants you to do. You are missing on God's agenda or God's purpose. She welcomed Jesus in the house. Jesus comes in the house. Jesus is functioning or operating in his DNA or in his mandate or responsibility. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is teaching. And when Jesus is teaching, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. In other words, Mary is taking advantage of the teachings of Jesus. Martha is concerned with many, many things. Now you understand why every now and then I tell you, this is a children's church. Do not be distracted. You remain focused. Why? They are having their time. They are enjoying their time. And that small distraction can make you miss on an important thing or assignment or agenda God has over your life. Verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will no longer be taken away from. Huh? That's a very simple statement, but I kept on thinking and asking myself, so what is it that Mary, which will no longer be taken from her? And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she heard the words of Jesus, not just the voice. Wachana zile songs that tunaimba, mkiniambia niimbe naambia, sikizeni maneno, si sauti. It's not that way. It is, she didn't hear the voice, she heard the word. Are we together? She heard the words, and Jesus is saying, this which Mary has received cannot be taken away from. You know, it's a very interesting conversation was going on in my head, is going on right now in my head concerning that statement. I'm reminded of Jesus going around sowing seeds, and he says the enemy, when the seed is just planted, the enemy comes in and the sowing tares is also taking it away. Huh? Kuna taking it away. But Jesus is saying, whatever Martha, Mary has received cannot be done what? Cannot be taken away. So what is it that Jesus is saying cannot be taken away from Mary? You remember when I told you to read Acts chapter 22 verse 3? It says, Paul says, it is at the feet of Jesus that I was educated. So it means the understanding that Mary caught from the teachings of Jesus cannot be taken away. You know, most of the time, it's not that we've not understood the word, we just choose to ignore. We just ignore it. It's not that you've not understood it. It's not that you don't know the word, but you choose to ignore.
Why? So when he says it cannot be taken away from Mary, it means if it's not working the way it should, it is Mary who has given herself or subjected herself to a place where the word should not work. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth. I'm still on that. This thing that Mary has received cannot be taken away from her. Let's read together. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and in conversation or in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in what are you supposed to be? An example. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example. So when you are a disciple, what are you? An example. How am I going to be an example? In what? In words, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Then Paul is telling Timothy something very profound, verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation. What does Amplify Classic say? Give attention to reading and exhortation. To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give yourself. What does Amplify say?
Until I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine.
So a good disciple is the one who is given to doctrine and exhortation. What is it? Public and private practice. Preaching. What are you preaching? The doctrine. Give yourself to public and private. That is how you are able to show out as an example, to showcase yourself as an example, to present yourself as an example. You don't show out what you're not practicing in. Are we together? So Paul is telling Timothy, till I come, watch, take heed, be cautious, focus, give yourself, concentrate on this. What is it? To doctrine, both public and private. What are you doing? You're teaching, you're reading, you're teaching, you're reading. I was asking Alois today, how was Friday? I can remember Friday niliomba. Aliomba. Hata sofonia aliomba. I think wamekaa sana bila kuomba masamare. Waliomba. But it was enjoyable in terms of we took note that there are people who cannot pray for long. So we worked out a way that we can pray together. Amen? And it was very, very, very interesting. Verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of... Is there anyone here who has not received a prophecy? Not just in Elevate, in your own space. Martin, si umepata unabii kuhusu maisha yako? Ano unajaribu kufikiria? Lea, pio suko na unabii? Uliambiwa. Ataka ulimwagiwa maji. Utakuwa mtu... Everyone, I believe, has a prophetic word that is hanging in their life. And you can only wage war with the prophetic word that is in your life. Are we together? You wage war. How do you wage war? By giving you, remind yourself. Before we began Elevate, there's a prophecy that was spoken. Thank God I recorded it. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, and I just play it and I say, God, you said, you spoke, you said, you spoke. Do it. It is not me who called myself. You spoke, I heard. You spoke, I heard. And when I heard that prophecy, I it is here. Do it the way you say it. Do it the way you say it. That is how I keep on waging war with the prophetic word. So I encourage you. That's why I told you, look for two notebooks. There's a notebook you write your prophecies. Even when you are praying, you get an instruction, you write there, so that it is easier when you want to check prophecies or instructions you've received from God. You don't have many notebooks. Are we together? You don't have many notebooks that you are looking. You just look for one notebook or two notebooks or three. But it is easier to know, this is 2018. I received this prophecy in 2018. This notebook is where it is. So I'm not perusing into other notes that I don't need by then. I just go directly. Because always you andika prophecy ya May hapa, wende ufungo kunyumba andika June. You'll write it continuous. So it is easier for you to mark within the bracket, probably quarterly. And when you mark those prophecies or words that you received quarterly, you're able to remind yourself. You're able to remind yourself. By the way, if a prophetic word does not come, it is not the prophet who is having a problem. It is you who is supposed to be waging war with the prophetic word. Are we together? Are we together? Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that you may... Your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear. So how are we supposed to save us? As an example, 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 15 to the end.
Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Look well to yourself and to teaching. Persevere in these things, for by so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
So you by so doing you save those who. So it's a perseverance thing. Reading is not easy. Praying is not easy. I started the daily devotions. I know it's work. I know it's a lot of work. Something that is going to challenge me, is going to stretch me, and I know it's not going to be easy. And when I was about to commence them, I asked myself, what do I do? That's why I told you. It is easier to take the boxes to the preferences. I want just to be doing on Monday, then I skip, I do on this, just so that I adjust. Why? Because I'm looking for convenience. I'm not looking at what God has told me. And when I was doing this message, I was thinking about it, is when I got this, and the thing was changing the distractions into devotion. You change the distractions into devotion. And I started thinking about it. How do I change these distractions to devotion? And I realized that the mind is the greatest distraction. Logic is a great distraction. Am I saying you should not be logical? No. But don't allow logic to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. 1 + 1 can be 2. Yes, to the mind. Science has told us though. So, but to God, He's giving you a different mathematics against logic. And that is what stands. The greatest danger right now, which is a distraction, is the AI, artificial intelligence. As a church, we've fallen into the trap of artificial intelligence. I realize that the mind can be a very great distraction. Logic can be a great distraction. Like that story of Prophet Suddenly. Personal ambition. I want to be rich. I want to own a car. I want to fly. I want to, as a minister, it can be a distraction. It can be a distraction. And that distraction will make you compromise on many things. It will make you compromise on many things. And I sat down and asked myself, how do you guard your heart? How do you guard your mind? How do you guard yourself from such things? It is a daily discipline. It's a daily discipline. But the thing is, it can be a distraction for me to do what on some things that God wants me to do. So how do I flip that chart? Is what Paul tells Timothy. Take heed. First of all, always walk knowing that you are an example. You are a person people are emulating, people are looking unto. Not just the kid. People around your office, people around your workplace, people around your home, people around your business. They are looking unto you and they are saying, if that is Christianity, I'd rather stay a Muslim. If that is Christianity, then I want to be a Christian. So which side of the coin are you? Because in the kingdom of God, there is no in between. It's either light or darkness. It's either white or black. It's either life or death. It is either A or there's no A, B, katikati, alaf, B, no. It is either this or that. That is the kingdom of God. So being an example is either you're presenting Jesus or you're not presenting Jesus. That is why Paul is saying that till I come, give attention to reading. How do you empower your mind? By reading, by looking. So what are you looking at? What are you looking at? I'm discovering daily that the Bible can be a dangerous book. It can either bring life or cause death. It can cause you to do some practices that are very queer and very weird, but you'll still say it is the Bible. Which is true, when we read, we see that. But is it what the Bible is saying? We're working out. Yes, distractions are there. The mind can be a distraction. Your heart, where your heart is a distraction. You can also find personal ambition that you're a distraction. Serving can be a distraction. All this distraction. But now, how do I turn these distractions into a devotion? First of all, I have to take heed. I have to take note. I have to discipline myself. The best way to kill a distraction is by disciplining yourself to what you need to discipline yourself to. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start from verse 14. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What are the things that he's looking forward to? The day of the Lord. You can find that in the previous scriptures from verse 10. It says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? When the Bible is telling you, consider the long-suffering of somebody is salvation. It's saying, it's telling you that it's not an easy walk. But at the end of the day, salvation is tied. It's not an easy walk to discipline yourself along some lines. But at the end of the day, it is going to save your soul. So that those who hear you may also live, may also have life. Are we together? Then he says, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Verse 16, let's read together. As also in all his epistles, what is he saying? Speaking of them, of these things, in which some are what? Some are what? No, I'm starting a series on discipleship, on this. The Savior, the saved, and his salvation. And I'm trusting God to do it throughout. The Savior, the saved, and I know there's a pending discipleship class from Malaysia. But the Savior, the saved, and his salvation. In this, I'm picking this scripture. It says that in all these things, Paul is talking about, but they are difficult. Some are difficult to understand. So it means I should not take some things literally the way I read them. And that is where you find cults are forming. The Bible can be a life-giving book. It can be also a dangerous book. A dangerous book. I can use it and say, you know, in Leviticus 16, it tells you bring animals. So next Sunday, kuja na mbuzi. Na wakisha ina alama yote. Kama ni nyeusi, kwe nyeusi. Kama ni nyeupe, kwe nyeupe. Na wewe ukuje na kodo. Alvanas ukuje na kuku. Nani ukuje na ngombe. We need to sacrifice and lift up an altar to God. It is written in scripture. Huh? But if I don't interpret it rightly, I will do it literally. Are we together? When it says stone somebody who is found in adultery, it is also written in scripture. But the bottom line is, what did the writer say? What was the intention of the writer when he was writing this? That's why there are things that you have to sit down and read. That's why Paul is telling us, study, keep yourself, be zealous to eat. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent, give yourself. As I'm giving myself to that, I no longer behave like Martha, because I have what? Understanding. And that understanding that I'm receiving, no one can take away from me. Are we together? There are things you're practicing today because when you are a child, you understood them well. There are things you're doing because your understanding has reached its peak concerning that matter. So even if somebody else comes with something else, you say, this is how I understand it. Do you know people who have understanding concerning a matter, they look at things. Then at the end of the day, they come and tell you, umaingangana kufanya kitu, alafu mtu anakuja. You just stand this here. It's understanding at play. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, why are you troubled of many things? Today I ask us, put your name there and ask yourself, why am I troubled of many things? What is that one thing that I need to focus on? What is that one thing that I need to give myself to? That as I give myself to this, I'm silencing destruction. What are the things that you need to align yourself? What are the challenges you need to give yourself? And say, you know what? Of these many things, these are just distractions. I need to align myself to this one thing that I need to do. I need to align myself. God spoke when he spoke to Abraham, and through all the scripture you find different people. You find the way Jesus appeared to Saul on his way to Damascus, he's having several experiences of the same. Several experiences. God knows how to speak to you. That experience that the day you say, I think God is speaking to you, that is the same wavelength that God is. He's the same yesterday, today. He doesn't change. Elijah looked and said, ni kwa mioto, miale ya mioto, ni kwa mawingu, ni kwa upepo, and then akasikia, there was a still small voice. And you find the life of Elijah, it is the voice that was speaking to Elijah. That still small voice. Look at Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Peter says, some say, but you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Look at the life of Peter. In Acts chapter 2, he starts preaching and say, this is what was written concerning Jesus Christ, the one whom you crucify, and this preaches the gospel. And then when he was going for lunch, he gets himself into a trance. So you sit down and ask yourself, how did Jesus, or how did divinity appear to Peter the first time at the transfiguration place? Am I communicating? I want us to reduce our distractions. Right now, with everything that is happening around, God was putting in my heart, there are so many distractions that are happening around that you can easily fall into them as a trap, as a snare. And as you fall into those traps, you end up deducing or reducing what God wants you to say. Kill the distractions by raising your level. Ask yourself, when was the last time I heard God? Then sit down and ask yourself, I think I was in the bathroom showering, and I heard God.
Okay.
The voice of God is real.
So it means God is speaking.
I need to start listening carefully.
When I'm taking a shower,
I need to listen carefully.
God will be speaking.
I'm using it as an example.
When I'm driving, and I'm passing somewhere, and there's something that is happening, it is real but not real. When I look at it, I try to relate with what I've picked. It's not adding up. God is picking my attention. And he's actually giving me a clear instruction concerning something.
Martha was busy, yet Jesus was there.
Most of the time we are busy and Jesus is there. What is he doing? He's speaking.
What he told Mary, we don't know. But what we know he was,
Mary heard the words.
My final point, distractions will always numb your hearing a bit.
Distractions will numb, will kill, will block your hearing ability.
So today, if you can't tell when was the last time you heard God say or give you instruction, just ask yourself, what is it that is distracting me from what I need here or what I need to get from God?
Amen.
To pray this simple prayer.
God, help me identify my distractions
and help me know how to put them away.
Help me know.
The phone can also be a distraction.
The apps can be a distraction.
And this is the best example I can give.
You know, most of the things that you've bought in your life today is because you saw an advert somewhere.
In the advert uliona mahali.
Most of the things that you have.
Maybe shoes, is clothes,
is something in the for the house, or something.
Even there are things that you didn't have to buy. But you bought because of what?
That is how expensive distractions are.
That's how expensive. So God, help me see. Help me identify the distractions I have in my life.
Give me the wisdom, the how to leap over all these distractions.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
we thank you, Lord, for this day.
Thank you, Father.
God, open my eyes to see, to understand, to know the distractions in my life.
Open my heart to incline and glide and walk in the direction you want me to walk.
Father, help me identify the distractions in my life.
Show me what I need to do.
Help me, Father, do away with all these distractions.
Help me, God, do away with all these distractions.
Whatever it is.
God, help me see it.
Help me see this destruction.
Help me identify them, Father.
Help me do away with all this in the name of Jesus.
Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes. Open my understanding. Open my mind.
I pray, Father, that I'll not be a Martha in my life.
I'll not focus on the wrong things.
I will focus on the right things.
I'll not heed or give myself to the wrong things.
I'll focus on the right.
I pray in the name of Jesus, God, to each and every one, God, at the sound of my voice, that their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. They will be able to see and know all the distractions they have.
They'll be able to know this is a distraction.
They'll be able to know this is a challenge.
They'll be able to know this is something I need to do away with.
In the name of Jesus Christ, cause them to triumph
over every distraction. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I pray, God, that distractions will turn to devotions.
They will take heed of the doctrine, of the teaching, of the reading of the word.
They will stand as an example to many. In the name of Jesus Christ,
let your light so shine in their hearts. Let your light so shine in their minds. Give them perfect peace. Let them learn to trust you more. Let them learn to focus on you more. Let them learn to stand on your word more in the name of Jesus.
And this day, Father, I remember anyone in our midst with any luck, any sickness, any disadvantage, and we pray over them, Father. Speak the supernatural intervention of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak the strength of God. We speak the supernatural healing in the name of Jesus to anyone in our midst, be it even flu, homa. God, we pray, let the healing of God, the mighty healing of God, function in their advantage in the name of Jesus Christ. Where there is need for provision of any kind, supernaturally, God, provide in the name of Jesus Christ. For every troubled heart, I speak peace. Let not your heart be troubled. I pray the peace of God that surpasses human understanding shall reign in them. Christ, you are our peace. Showcase yourself in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Silence every voice that needs to be silenced and amplify the voice of God of our lives. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.